it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to episode 3 of the Hockey News on the A podcast. We are pleased to join by Toronto Marlies forward Logan Shaw, the reigning AHL Player of the Week after he recorded 9 points in 3 games. Logan, so what led to the hot hand to win you those honors last week?
Good team play. Honestly, we had a good power play going. Got lucky, obviously, on a couple of them. Just sometimes you get the bounces, sometimes you don't. And last week I had them.
The Marlies are off to a really, hot start to the year. What's it been like in your early goings of, being in the Toronto Maple Leafs system and just kind of the year you guys have had here?
I think this organization, and I'm sure from, years past, they've always done it, but they give you the best chance to succeed, with all the development, the resources that they give you. They try to make it as much as possible. Like an NHL team, obviously, they treat you very well, but I think they just try to put you in places to succeed every night. And, obviously, since I've been here, I see that. I've been in a number of organizations, and, just being able to compare it to different teams, I think, they want us to win. And, to me, they want to develop players, obviously, and, my role is to help do that as an older guy. But I think in order to develop players, you have to learn how to win, and you have to win games to be in those tight matches and figure out a way to close them. And I think right now we're still in the development process of trying to learn who we are as a team and keep taking steps forward. But, it's definitely nice to have a couple of wins under our belt this early in the year.
What are some of those day-to-day differences that kind of make the Marlies stand apart from maybe your, other clubs?
I think every team does a great job. Every team that I've been a part of, they do a great job, developing players and having that mindset. Here, obviously, there's just a couple more resources that they do have, whether it's nutritionists for both, up top and down here. And then we have the development resources for on-ice coaching, where, you're on the ice 20 minutes before practice in different groups, you're working on individualized skills, whether it's shooting, skating, defensive zone play, picking up pucks on the boards, these little skills that you don't normally work on in practice. It's more toned to what you need to work on in your game to become a better player. And every practice day we have 20 minutes set aside just for, whether it's full groups or whether it's two or three guys in one session, it's nice to work on it. I'm 30 years old and I still enjoy doing it and trying to get better and trying to make each other better out there.
You signed a three-year AHL deal this summer. Highly unusual in this league. We went back, we couldn't find any kind of precedent for it. How did that whole deal come about? And both sides willing to make that commitment to each other?
Yeah. For me, honestly, it was just having a stable place for my family. I have a, 2.5-year-old son, married. So just being able to say that I'm going to be in one place for 3 years was it's a pretty big thing for us as a family, being 30 now. So I'll be 32, 33 when this deal's over. It's kind of nice to know where my son will be in daycare. Kind of nice to know just that my wife has the same, same city to go to for 3 years. It was a tough decision, honestly, not going back to, not going back to Ottawa. There's other teams around, but everything that I heard about this organization was great. I haven't been a part of this team before, but, if I'm going to be in one place for 3 years, I had no problem, doing it here. I know I'm going to get treated well. Again, like I said, we're always going to try to push to win. So it was a tough decision, but, signing an AHL deal alone was also tough, but I still want to be the best player that I can be, play the best that I can, and push each other, my teammates and, friends to do the same. So that didn't change anything that I was going to do. I'm still going to show up to the rink every day, work just as hard as I would on, if I was on an NHL deal. That doesn't change anything for me.
So Keith Petruzzelli signed an NHL deal. There's a video that went kind of viral of Ryan Hardy telling the group that was going to happen. If I'm not mistaken, I think when you were with the Moose at one point, you were signed to an NHL deal in the middle of the year. Am I correct?
Yeah, I started on a so I started in a PTO in Calgary, went to San Diego, signed an AHL deal, and then signed an NHL deal in Winnipeg.
So you're familiar with that process. Like, what's that sort of like to be on an AHL deal, and then, you know, there must be a big change, obviously, to get an NHL contract in the middle of the year like that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, for me, it was a little weird, like more weird, just because I was changing organizations. For him, I mean, he deserves it. He's been our rock here so far. I mean, I think he's 6-0 to start the season, and he's a gamer. I think as you could tell in that video, that our team was, you know, and that, you know, that wasn't like, you know, that was fabricated. That was, he deserved every bit of, you know, we were really excited for him, really pumped up for him. It's cool. I think it's just kind of, sometimes you don't really expect it to happen midseason, but I think it's more of like a reward, I guess. You know, I mean, obviously, I'm sure the way he's playing, he was going to get an NHL deal eventually, but, you know, I'm sure it's nice to come a little quicker for him. You know, it's unfortunate, and, you know, how it happens, but that's the business that we're in, is someone's injury is another person's opportunity. And, you know, he's been taking advantage of his playing time, and I think I'm really happy for him because he deserves it. He really does.
How big is that for the organization? Ryan Hardy opened it by saying there's three-tier development. Obviously, the Growlers are something that the organization invests a lot in, and development, you know, at each scale. How big is it for your group to see someone like Keith earn an NHL deal, having started with the Growlers and just going through the whole, you know, development ladder?
I think it's huge, and I hope, you know, the rest of the guys do as well, just for the fact that just because you're on an AHL deal doesn't mean it's over. You know, you're still got to push every day to try to get to the NHL. And even for myself, that's what I'm here to do. I mean, right. I'm here to try to push to make the NHL still. And I'm sure everyone else, and like, we have a lot of AHL contracts here. Yeah. And I just want them again. And it's the fight and the compete that we have every day in practice is, it's up there with the hardest I've seen since I've turned pro hockey for practices, which is nice because, you know, we do have a lot of skill in this dressing room right now, but the, you know, the compete level that we have is it's awesome to see. And I think, hopefully with guys seeing that, you know, Keith get that contract, it's in October, November, that it's, you know, it's, maybe it's not next year, maybe it is this year that guys are getting it, you know. It's, and it doesn't have to be with this organization. You know, guys still have to fight, you know, they're fighting for their career, they're fighting for the next contract. Obviously you want it to be here because, you know, this is where you're at, this is the team you're a part of, but I think it's pretty special to see someone get promoted like that in season.
What's it like to be on the other side of the Belleville-Toronto rivalry? You went in there last Saturday night. You've seen it now from both sides.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I really, really enjoyed my time in Belleville. I have nothing but good things to say about it. You know, the city, the town, it's more of like a junior town compared to here. Like, there's, you know, just less things to do, as in like restaurants and stuff. But it's such a good, close-knit community. In Belleville, and they really love their hockey, which is, you know, coming down the stretch last year when we were pushing for playoffs. It was, you know, us and Toronto playing the last couple of games against each other, and, the rink was full. It was awesome to see. And now being on the other side of it, you know, I still have a lot of friends over there, obviously, and it was nice to see them and get a little tribute the other night. But I think, you know, I want to win here now. This is my team now. This is who I'm fighting for. This is who I'm going to war with. And it's nice to see those guys, but it was nice to come out on top the other night for sure.
Being on an AHL deal now, does that require a shift in mindset for you? You know, past 10 years almost, you've been pushing NHL, and now you're on a kind of a different trajectory. Is that a different mindset?
I wouldn't say it's a different mindset. I mean, I would say maybe that I'm not, you know, going home and saying like, oh, maybe I'm going up kind of thing. But I would never say that I was doing that anyway. To me, it was just always a day-to-day thing. Like, you know, you're always fighting for a call up. You're always, you know, you always want to fight to stay up when you are up, but it doesn't change anything in how I, you know, handle my day-to-day business or how I perform on, you know, in the gym, on the ice, practice, games. I just, you know, I think that's one thing that I kind of pride myself on, is that I'm the same, whether I'm here, whether I'm up top, whether it's, you know, getting a call up or not, I'm still going to be me. And I think that's one thing that I really do pride myself, is that, you know, young guys want to come talk to me about their, you know, if they think they should be called up, I'll talk to them about it. And I'll tell them straight up, you know, like, well, maybe work on this, maybe work on that, maybe we'll work a little hard, maybe just your attitude. There's always little things that you can always improve on. But for me personally, it doesn't change anything. You know, I'll still be here every day working, trying to still be the best player that I can be, whether it's, you know, to be the best player in this team, this league. It's just, I'll be the best version of myself for sure.
One last question for you here, Logan. Alex Steeves, you know, he had a very strong preseason showing with the Leafs, off to a hot start with the Marlies as well. What can you tell the viewers and, you know, Leafs fans and whatnot, what you've seen from Steeves to start the year?
Work ethic. Honestly, I think that's what I'm saying. It's not just what you guys see in, you know, in games. It's in the gym. It's in practice. Our whole group has it, and we build off each other, and he's coming every day and he's going to work. So if the next guy beside him isn't working, he's going to make you work because he's going to outwork you, and then you're going to look bad. So I think, you know, the work ethic with him, there's, I can go down the list and name every single player, you know, what they brought to this team this year. And if you see someone that's not working, they're going to stand out, you know, for the wrong reasons on this team right now, which is a good thing. And I think the way he's playing, obviously I didn't know him coming into this year, like, you know, what his habits were like or what he did in the summer, but you can tell that, you know, he prepared the right way. And, you know, obviously it's paying off early in the year, and, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see him with the Leafs for sure.
All right, Logan, thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem. Thank you very much, guys.
Of course.
Bye now.
All right, Pat, let's get to our prospect of the week for this week, and that is Simon Edvinson of the Grand Rapids Griffins. First-round pick of Detroit in 2021. 8 points in 9 games this year while playing, according to Instat, around 22 minutes a night. Driving play, he's got a 52.3% Corsi and a plus 12 relative. In all situations, he's 19 years old. He's playing a big role. What have you seen from the Grand Rapids defender this year?
I think the first thing I look at with almost any AHL player, but especially a young player, is usage. And you said 22 minutes a night as a 19-year-old. That shows a lot of confidence from head coach Ben Simon. Spoke with him. Actually, I spoke with both of them early in the season. And, you know, the first thing that obviously I think everyone comes to mind is the elite skating ability. He's very much a prototypical defenseman in that sense. 6'6", too. So, like, you know, that stands out to me as well. That, you know, obviously a bigger player to be such a good skater at this age. It gives you a lot to work with if you're the Detroit Red Wings. Very raw. That was one way that Ben Simon described Edvinson, which is to be expected. He's 19 years old. There's a lot to do. I think the thing that is encouraging if you're the Red Wings is they have experience doing this. Moritz Seider came through here 3 years ago. He was raw. I actually think he was not nearly as polished as Edvinson was at the same point. Now, we've seen what Seider has gone on to do. He's won a Calder last year. So if you're the Red Wings, you have to be really encouraged. They also had Philip Zadina come through a few years ago. That was a little bit different. He was 18. He's a forward. But, you know, it was a little bit of a rockier, you know, development curve. But the Red Wings are very confident in what they have in Grand Rapids in terms of the coaching staff, the development staff, and their ability to bring along raw but elite young talent.
To me, Edvinson's kind of one of those modern day shutdown guys. Like, mm-hmm. I think the game is shifting away from taking a Zach Bogosian or an Eric Gudbranson in the top five, right? And sort of the middle ground of that, you have to be able to possess the puck, be a sound skater and whatnot, and a shutdown defender, is someone like Edvinson. You know, I don't see him as an offensive D per se, though granted, as an 18-year-old, he put up really good numbers with Frölunda in the SHL, and he didn't play much on the power play. So I think there's a lot of, you know, untapped upside there, but with the understanding that he's probably not going to be sort of what Seider is, but he'll probably complement him really well. And we've talked about this a couple times, but just being able to have him in your system at, you know, 19, 20, 21, those kind of core years, that's huge for a guy like him. Like, I really think, and the fact that he's able to manage 22 minutes now, I mean, that's insane. Like, how often, like, I even remember when Rasmus Sandin came to Toronto, while he was playing a prominent role, you know, I don't have the ice time figures from them, but I would be very surprised if he was playing upwards of 20 at that time. There's usually a process where you're easing guys in.
Well, yeah, if you look at his development history so far, so he got the benefit of playing the Swedish Hockey League, right, for my money, the top league in Europe. Yes. And now at 19 years old, he's getting day in and day out instruction from the Detroit Red Wings and their staff. It just puts him ahead of such a curve. I mean, typical 19-year-old would be playing junior and would not be under – the day-to-day eye of the Red Wings and the Griffins, and would also be playing against obviously far lesser competition. I think we spoke about this last week that I think it's becoming a big edge for teams where with the European players, you can bring them over at 18 or 19 years old. That's a big advantage. And it just gets that whole development curve accelerated, you know, by a year or two. And I think it really helps. I think, you know, especially obviously, you know, when you're trying to rebuild like the Red Wings are, you don't want to do it too fast in terms of development, but you want to do it efficiently. And I think that's what this allows them to do.
I'd agree. And also, Detroit is known to kind of overcook guys mm-hmm. in the minors as it is. Now they have a 2-year head start on that process, or
exactly.
however long it may be. Let's shift over to our team of the week. And this week we're going to feature the Calgary Flames and their affiliate, the Calgary Wranglers. You know, Matthew Phillips is someone that generates a lot of conversation in Alberta from what I can see online. He's someone I wrote about in the Hockey News this week. The big thing with him, you know, Phillips, who's tied for the lead in scoring, 14 points in 10 games, he's never been given a chance by Calgary. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason that may be, there's a couple, you know, plausible ones. I checked in with a couple people that know the player directly. Some have worked with him. Others have played against him. But one person that has been working closely with him pointed out that for Phillips, one of the key issues at 5'7" is his lack of strength. Right. And that's something that I think sometimes people can disregard. And obviously with undersized players becoming more prevalent in the game, as they should, skill obviously overrides those sort of intangibles for big guys from the past. But his lack of strength is something that really holds him back and maybe is why he hasn't been given that chance. This person said that he doesn't have Johnny Gaudreau's strength for an undersized guy. Pat, what's your read on Matthew Phillips and just kind of where he's at, his lack of opportunity, and if that day will soon come, or if this is kind of, you know, the situation going forward?
Strength is it's an interesting topic just because it's one of those things you either have or you don't. And sure, you can hit the gym, you can develop in that sense, but I mean, you are what you are to a certain extent in terms of what your body will allow you to do. Some guys are just naturally more prone being able to put on muscle, being able to get stronger. And, you know, I think people get hung up on the 5'7" part. I mean, I think I don't think that's as much of an issue as being able to, you know, have that strength, right? Like, you know,
totally.
There are a lot of guys out there. Jordan Tutu was not a tall player, for example, right? Jordan right. Tutu though was strong as anybody. Right. And, that's such an advantage, right? Like, I mean, skill wise, I think Phillips has everything you'd want, and certainly has proven that he can more than handle the American Hockey League. He's on an 18 point streak right now, like you said, tied for league in scoring. It's that strength, though, that, you know, that the things that he's able to do in the American Hockey League, he can't necessarily get away with in terms of
totally.
And the that's, NHL.
And that's sorry to cut you off, but that's a great point, Pat. And I think that throughout the years, there's always these sort of tweeners, guys mm-hmm. like Nick Petan, Alex Barry-Boulay might be in that territory too. You know, he had a sniff last year at points, but he's back in the A being a top player. Historically, someone I remember growing up watching, Jason Krog, mm-hmm. sort of these quad A guys, right? They're too good per se for the triple A level, for the minor league level, but not good enough to stick in the NHL. And Matthew Phillips might just be that, frankly. The thing for me is he's been on waivers now, I think three times, maybe, if I'm not mistaken. Every team in the league has had a chance to pick him up, and they haven't. If he was as good as some people say, he would have been at least claimed off waivers. The guys I just mentioned, Petan, claimed before. Barry-Boulay, claimed. Now, I'm not saying they didn't stick, so neither would Phillips, but they were claimed at least. Right, no one has even taken a chance on Matthew Phillips when he's been available for free. So that, to me, is a huge statement of his perceived NHL value. Now, it's funny. You always hear of these guys like Phillips that they're not good enough for the top six, so they can't really bring much to that bottom six. Or they can't bring much to that bottom six, therefore they're kind of in no man's land. A lot of people would counter with that saying, oh, well, why can't you make room for a Matthew Phillips in the bottom six and whatnot? But trust is a huge sort of currency that coaches have. Those little things in the bottom six. Pat, I think you'd be better than you'd be the best person to contextualize this, but what is it that a guy like that would struggle with in terms of fitting into an NHL bottom six?
Well, I think it's first and foremost, anyone of the bottom six, especially, you know, the bottom, you know, bottom three, let's call it the fourth line. Your first job is to go out there and not get scored on, not make a mistake, right?
Totally.
And a player like Phillips, when he's at his best, he's playing with a little bit of risk in his game. It's measured risk, right?
Of course.
But it's I mean, that's what's made him successful. And it is kind of the old adage, you got to, you know, do what got you there, right? And that's not that he hasn't played that fourth line game in the American Hockey League. And now you're asking him not only to come up a level, but to try to play a completely different role from what he's been asked to do. To go out there and do it in 6 or 7 minutes a night as opposed to 20 minutes a night. And to just almost remake himself as a whole new player. And it's just, there are better candidates for fourth line roles with any team than somebody who's never really played that role, even at the American Hockey League level. So he's in a tough spot. There's no question. I would say the only counterpoint I would say as far as waivers is, we've seen players, you know, people make mistakes, NHL front offices.
Totally.
Sometimes is, you know, like, you know, the players get labeled. I mean, Yanni Gord, a great example, you know, just sort of, you know, going That's back fair. To the Blue Wings and Tampa Bay with Steve Yzerman before that, everybody missed him, right? I mean, he was a player that completely overlooked. He was in the ECHL. He was signed a PTO in the AHL. So it's not beyond the realm of possibility. Marchessault was another guy, you know, he was getting that label as well. He's just an NHL player. And then here he is all these years later.
Fair point.
Established player. So, you know, it's sometimes being in the right place at the right time, but having, like you said, that trust is major. I mean, I think, and Darryl Sutter there in Calgary he's not an easy coach to win over. There's that leash you're on is pretty tight. And, you know, I think that's what works against a player like Phillips. I would like to see him get an opportunity, maybe in a different team, different situation. Especially not with a win now team like Calgary. And especially now with the way the Flames are playing, you know, there's a lot of pressure up there right now. And you're trying to be a player that comes into that, you know, midstream and you know, to a situation that's obviously tense right now. That's a tough spot for any young player, especially one trying to establish himself. So, yeah, he's in a difficult spot. But I think he's making his statement. I put that out on Twitter last night. You know what? He sent down, all you can do is control how you play. He is more than doing that. 8-game point streak, like I said. He's making his case. Now I think it's up to the Flames to kind of meet him and, you know, meet him halfway and see what they can eventually do. But there's no question. It's difficult right now.
One last tidbit on Phillips, just to speak to his body of work. Since the 2019-2020 season, Phillips has tallied a league-high 66 5-on-5 primary points. And, you know, that is definitely something to take note of. Moving on to the rest of the Calgary Flames prospects, really interesting bunch of players there. Someone I want to ask you about is Connor Zary. You know, 10 points in 10 games, first-round pick in the 2020 draft. Sort of had to get acclimated in that first year, which is common, obviously. You know, last year with the Stockton Heat, it took him a bit to get going, which, again, it does happen. But Zary's come out, and he's been a top-flight player from the get-go. What have you seen from him to start out the year?
Yeah, so Zary, like you said, 2020 first-rounder. He came in that pandemic season, the half season, got a little bit of time with Stockton at the time before he had to return to the WHL. So that was good, right, to get him in there early. Comes into camp last year, training camp with the Flames, fractures his ankle. He's about 2 months he was out. So he jumps into the season, you know, it's already 6-7 weeks into the season.
Right.
He has to kind of hit the ground running there. And that's a tough spot for, you know, not only just a prospect, but a rookie at that. So his season last year was up and down a little bit. Stockton went on that long playoff run as well, all the way to the Western Conference Final before they fell to Chicago. So that was a chance for him to make up a little bit of that ground that he lost earlier in the season. But he's coming out this year. You can just tell the confidence is a lot better. I think that's where that's reflected in the numbers, the production. And, when a player is obviously more confident, more willing to push the play a little bit, I think the points follow. Obviously, the talent's there. Plays a good hard-nosed game. Well liked by the Calgary Wranglers coaching staff there, Mitch Love, coach of the year last year. So I like what he's shown so far. I think just they're gonna be patient with him. I mean, as we said with Phillips, I mean, they certainly shown patience with him. Calgary's in no hurry to rush any players, so I think that's a good situation for Zary, where he'll be able to marinate a little bit there with the American League team and really bring his game along and make up some of that ground that kind of threw him off last season.
Another first round pick, a lot of them in Calgary, is Jacob Pelletier, first round pick in 2019. Great pro rookie season last year with the Stockton Heat, 62 points in 66 games, coming out of the gate flying again with 8 points in 10 games. He's another undersized guy, 5'9". He's listed as, according to HockeyDB. I wouldn't say he's as, glaringly small as a Phillips per se. But how far is Pelletier from getting a shot? Obviously, that depends on injuries and, different circumstances. But in terms of being NHL ready, where do you kind of see him at this point in time?
It's interesting because coming out of last season, going into camp, there was a sense that he might really a strong push for a job in Calgary. And it didn't pan out. Apparently, they weren't real happy with the training camp he put on. And hey, that happens with young players, right? Like that's not unheard of. That pace can be a little bit overwhelming for players. And he had an excellent rookie season. That Stockton team last year was a force, and probably for my money would have been the Calder Cup winner if not for just an absolute juggernaut with the Chicago Wolves. It's not the worst thing in the world to come back to realize that there are still some things to work on at the American League level, and he's going to get a really good education there. And this, I think, also just comes back to the point. Having that team now in Calgary, as opposed to Stockton, you're under the very close scrutiny of the NHL front office on a nightly basis. I mean, Daryl Sutter is at every Calgary Wranglers home game, pretty much. His son, Brett, is the captain of the team. So there's that interest, but also just, if you're a Wranglers prospect right now, you cannot say that you're not, you're not being noticed or you're being ignored or you're forgotten about down in the minors. That old complaint that a lot of players used to have, no longer the case. So Pelletier, just, like you said, go out and produce, but also, really prove that you're going to be responsible on both sides of the puck. And that's the biggest thing that holds players back. If you can get past that difficulty in learning how to play without the puck, kind of learning a whole new element of your game you never had to necessarily worry about in junior, even to some extent in the American League at first, you can really come ahead. And that those are the players that eventually reach the NHL and stay.
Really quickly here before we move on, Dustin Wolf, a phenom last year, 21-year-old goaltender, came out of the gate in his first rookie, in his rookie pro season. He was probably the best goal in the NHL last year. He ended up playing 13 playoff games as well for Stockton. 924 save percentage, looked like the next one. Looked like he was next in line sort of to become the backup goaltender in Calgary. Not necessarily this season. I think it's a little bit premature, but in the following years that will come up. What do you think about Wolf's timeline? And it's really weird to predict with goalies. We often see it and they take the longest to develop, but they also stay the longest once they're there in the NHL. Most vital position in the game. Could Wolf become a piece for Calgary next season or the year after, or is it too early to tell?
I think 2 years would be sufficient for him. It's a great story, right? Seventh round pick, WHL goalie, CHL goalie, you know, before of the year before he came into the AHL, comes in last year and just picks up all sorts of hardware. Puts that team on his back on some nights, takes them all the way to the conference final. So he got a lot packed in to a rookie season. I think by next fall, I think he's ready to make a push. And, you know, like you said, it is a longer curve for goalies, but he's accelerated that curve considerably. Very mature, very smart, very self-aware prospect. He's not in a hurry to reach the NHL. And I mean that as a compliment. You know, some players that, you know, they think they should be in the NHL yesterday, he's willing to understand that there is a certain amount of time that a young goalie needs, and he's willing to put in that time, put in that work. So I think, yeah, if you're the Calgary Flames, you have to be very encouraged. You know, he's shown a good ability to bounce back. You don't see too many situations with him early in his career where, you know, there's more than a bad game or two. I mean, he shuts down those streaks really fast in terms of, you know, when he, you know, maybe is, you know, a little bit of a dip. Those dips are a lot smaller than most young goalies go through.
Last guy we're going to touch on, Ruslan Isakov, Bridgeport Islanders. One of the crazy stories of the NHL this year. So second round pick in the 2018 draft, he went to college at University of Connecticut for 2 years. Then he went to the Finnish League and then to the German League. Now this year, the 22-year-old, his first rookie year pro, 14 points in 10 games. What a electric player he is. Crafty. He's got like unbelievable vision. Really fun story out of nowhere. Pat, quickly, what do you kind of project for him, and how long until we could see him in Islanders uniform?
Yeah, second round pick. And then, you know, if you did one of those redrafts, you're probably looking at him as a first round pick. And yeah, like you mentioned, a really unique curve, and just, you don't see many players take that path where, you know, they 2 years of US college and then go over to a high level league like right. the Finnish league, and then, you know, kind of a different element of a league in Germany, a little bit more of a North American style game. So he's kind of been able to blend a lot of different you know, environments and styles into his game at an early age. The knock on him, of course, will be size, right, and strength and that, but
5'9", I should say.
Yeah. And you know, I spoke with Brent Thompson, the head coach there, and he acknowledges that. And, you know, he does have to get stronger, but, you know, he plays a hard nosed game. He attacks the net, plays strong on the walls. He's obviously the skill is there as well. So if you couple those ingredients, I don't think it's going to be too long before you see him with the big team. I think, you know, he's just thinks the game at a different pace, and you can tell that his ability, his vision is a notch above most of his peers at this level.
Totally. All right, folks, thank you so much for tuning in this week. Hope you liked our special guest, our breakdown of Calgary, Simon Edvinson, Ruslan Isakov. Hope to see you next week as well. And yeah, let us know if you want any guests or anything in particular.